Welcome to this module, Proclaiming the Word. In this module itself, we're looking at preaching and the art of preaching, what preaching is all about. Now, in the first session, we spoke a bit about the theology of preaching. In other words, what is a biblical understanding of preaching? Why is preaching important? Now, in the sessions coming, we're going to look a bit more at the mechanics itself of a sermon. How do I compose a sermon? How do I deliver a sermon? And in the session, we're then starting off, of course, with the introduction. Why is the introduction to the sermon itself important? Now, in the first place, introduction sets a tone of the sermon itself. In other words, what can the audience expect? Is this going to be a tough sermon? That's going to be a rebuking sermon? Is this going to be an encouraging sermon? Is this going to be a very practical sermon? What can I expect from the sermon itself? In other words, with introduction, I immediately set the tone of the sermon. It also creates anticipation for the content and the conclusion itself. In other words, it heightens a sense of, I want to hear about this. I've got great expectations for the sermon itself. And then the most important bit of the introduction itself, it connects the audience to the topic itself. Now, you must remember, if you're preparing a sermon, In your heart, you're very much convinced that this is an important topic. You're very much convinced this is what people would like to hear. But remember, the audience is sitting there and they haven't gone through what you're going through. They haven't worked through it. They haven't studied scripture. They haven't prayed through it. They're coming in cold, if I can put it that way. And it is hugely important that you connect the audience to the topic itself. It helps to clarify the relevance of a topic to the audience. Now, if you do not do the introduction well enough, what's going to happen is you're going to create a wrong expectation among the audience. It's also going to cause confusion. They're going to think we're talking about this particular topic, but then in reality you're talking about that. In other words, you're not leading them into the topic well enough. And that's going to lead very much to a fragmented sermon. And one of the things definitely that you don't want is for audience to be confused about what you're actually saying. So right from word go of introduction, you create a sense of clarity about what we're talking about here and what can you expect. Perhaps an analogy to see an introduction is to see it as a bridge. In other words, you're building a bridge between the audience itself and the topic that you'd like to address. Another way of putting it is that you're fetching the audience where they are at so that you can lead them to the topic itself. And that's very much the function of a bridge. So a great introduction serves as a good bridge to connect the audience to the topic itself. So in preparing for the introduction itself, four elements are really crucial to developing this introduction. First off, you need to have a good exegesis of the audience. In other words, a good understanding of the audience. Key question here is you need to be able to answer the question, how would it apply to the audience? How does it apply to us if you're sitting among the audience itself? Some factors to consider here. First off, what is the social cultural makeup of a congregation? From which culture does this congregation mainly come from? Every culture's got its own values, its own approach to life, its symbols that it holds dear, its ideals that it holds dear. If you do not understand that, it's very hard to be actually relevant to that culture that you're addressing. Another critical factor to consider here is what is the educational level of a congregation and what type of employment do they enjoy in general? That might be a tricky question because the congregation itself might be very cosmopolitan in its makeup. Nevertheless, that's important because you need to understand what sort of level am I going to address here. In other words, if you're talking to a professional, tertiary educated, highly idealistic group, then obviously the approach here is going to be very different from, say, speaking to a group that's mainly concerned with, say, you're speaking to students, you're speaking to high school pupils. The level on which you're going to pitch it is going to be very, very different. Of course, you need to understand the subculture of the congregation itself. You know, it's not just the broader ethnic culture from which the congregation derived from, but also the subculture of the congregation itself. In other words, questions here is what is a congregation good with? In general, what do they do well as a congregation? Which sort of spiritual gifts do they regularly flow in? What is the feel of a congregation to those that visit it? In other words, if you're a first-time visitor and you walk into the congregation, what sort of feel are you going to get? What does a congregation sort of perceive it calling to be in the community? In other words, why are they in this community and what are they doing in this community? What's the life phase that the audience find themselves in? In other words, you're trying to determine what is the values, what is the feel, what is things that this congregation mostly do. You're still trying to understand what the audience is all about and what is important to them and what they're potentially very good in, what do they potentially struggle with, what potentially is the type of questions they ask themselves. And of course, you need to understand what they're dealing with spiritually at the time of the sermon itself. What is God speaking to them about so that you can link with that quite efficiently? What are they working on as a congregation? And what are they struggling with? Now, it's very hard to approach the audience in a way that's relevant to them if you do not understand where they are at. So the first element is to really understand where the audience is at, where the congregation is at, so that you might be applicable to them. Now, the next very important element to the introduction itself is to have a very clear problem statement. What is the problem that I'm addressing here? Now, a sermon should address a particular issue or problem. If it doesn't address a particular issue or problem, its value will remain very abstract and irrelevant. There's many things we can talk about in Scripture itself, and all of Scripture is important. But if I'm not addressing a very particular problem, it's going to be very hard for the audience to actually find it relevant. For example, if you deal with an audience that is exceptionally good at evangelism, for example, and you cannot identify issues around evangelism or how they should grow in evangelism, and you talk about something that is not relevant to that, it's going to be very hard for them to actually understand where you're coming from and what you're trying to say. The example here, like I'm using, is a congregation that's very good at evangelism. So say you want to talk about the whole issue of Calvinism versus Arminianism, just as a way out example. So the whole issue of election, God choosing certain people to be saved, or is that true, is that not true? But you cannot link it to the problem statement. You cannot link it to the issue around evangelism and how should I approach evangelism and what is important for evangelism. Then what's going to happen, you're going to get into a whole theological debate about election and how does it work, how does it not work. But the audience is going to sit there and say, well, how is this relevant to me? How does it help me to be good with evangelism or not? In other words, if you're not able to pick your problem statement, it's going to be very hard for you to lead people to the topic itself. It's going to be very hard for you as well to narrow the subject down and to really get your approach right. So the problem statement will help you to ask the right questions of Scripture and to filter all the verses that is relevant. Now, good problem statements can come from observations of current news and community events. In other words, we see the news, we see something that recently happened and really triggers something within us. This is really a problem for our society and this is something that we should talk about. I think often we don't use this enough. I do think that a lot of people find newsworthy items very relevant and they often wonder about that. And church becomes a great platform of voicing these concerns and really addressing it from a biblical point of view. Another way of getting to a good problem statement is observations in small group and church concerning what people experience. What is their experience in church and small group? What do people struggle with that I pick up relationally in small group and in church itself? Another way of getting good problem statements is observation from intercession and current sermons. In other words, sort of perceiving what is the prophetic season, observation of a prophetic season that the church is experiencing or what the Holy Spirit is sharing with you. In other words, prophetically speaking, where is this congregation at? What is God working through at this particular time with this congregation? And then linking the problem statement with that. And then lastly, another good way of getting a good problem statement is observation from scripture reading. In other words, you're reading scripture and the scripture really becomes alive to you in the sense that you realize that it's very applicable, not just in general as a truth, but very applicable for the here and now for this congregation. Now, open questions is a great way of stating this problem. Now you've already examined the audience and tried to really understand who the audience is at. Now what you've done is you've developed your problem statement. Well, this is a problem that I want to address. Now, how do you then connect the audience with that problem statement in your introduction? A great way, it's not the only way, but a great way of doing that is to ask good open questions. Example here might be, perhaps you want to talk about the love of God. God is a loving God. That's a topic that you're trying to address, and you might think the problem statement here is that people have a skew expectation of God the Father. Now, open question that you might ask the audience just to get them into it and to connect them with the problem statement is perhaps a question like this. If you had to form a picture of God in your mind, if you had to form a picture of God the Father in your mind, how would he look like? What would this picture look like? Would that picture be one of a judge, one of a father, one of a faceless entity perhaps? Now, the audience immediately is forced to face this question themselves, this problem statement themselves, and to recognize, yes, this might be very much an issue to me. This might be very much something that I need to connect with and need to understand. So you've had a good understanding of the audience. You've clearly developed your problem statement. The third element to a good introduction is to have a clear definition of key concepts. Now, this often is overlooked as well. And even if you do not state this to the audience itself, you need to have a good understanding of definitions. Let me give you an example of, say, a topic that you'd like to address. Perhaps the topic is overcoming fear by faith. But now the question is, what is fear? What is fear? And how does it influence us? Another key concept here would be, what is faith? And how does it grow? Another third key definition there is overcoming. What is overcoming and what can we realistically expect from overcoming? Now, of course, one can go into too much details here and just become overwhelmed by all the definitions. But what you must remember is that words tend to have different meanings to different people in different settings. In other words, what you understand by faith is very much informed by the exposure that you had. I'm using faith here as an example of a definition. It's very much formed by the exposure that you had in terms of your scriptural reading, in terms of the church that you've been in terms of the connection of people that you've had, in terms of your discipleship process, in terms of your experiences of God. And that might not be uniform. Somebody else might have different exposure, different experiences. In other words, their instant feel in terms of their definition of faith might be very different from yours. And of course, both of you might be wrong in terms of your definition of faith. Or you might be more correct, or that person might be more correct. In other words, what is a biblical definition of faith? And defining something well is actually a very good thing to do because it sets a standard and it creates a platform whereby both the audience and the preacher really connects about what are we talking about here. Now, the fourth element to a great introduction is illustrations, good illustrations. Now, this is perhaps the most obvious one. Usually, introduction starts with the illustration. And it really connects the audience in a visual or perhaps a imaginary way, or through the imagination, I should rather say, through the imagination, really connects the audience to the problem statement. And obviously a good illustration just simply illustrates and shows how much imagination and emotion plays a huge role in the human experience. I don't think people go to a sermon because they just intellectually want to understand something. Of course not. They really want to connect with it in their hearts. They really want to connect with it through their imagination. They really want to connect with it through their emotions. Now, the danger, the real danger here, is that one can use the illustration to emotionally manipulate the audience to connect with it. And the intent should never be that. But the idea is that as human beings, we don't, of course, only intellectually engage with a particular topic. We want to engage as a whole person. We want to engage with our imagination, emotion as well. And a good illustration really helps in terms of facilitating that. Now, types of illustrations that you can consider, you can use stats. Stats is a great way of showing. Now, these are just options that I'm giving you. Please don't use all of them because your introduction is going to be very long there. But one option may be stats. And stats is great with illustrating the extent of a problem. So, for example, with stats, say you're talking with about marriage itself. Marriage is your topic. Stats can be great in terms of illustrating the extent of a problem. It can be great illustrating the trend in terms of what is the experience out there. And stats can be a great wake-up call where people realize, whoa, this is really an issue, this is really a problem, we need to address it. Another good option in terms of illustrations is stories, real-life stories. And it helps the audience to see that the topic is very much applicable. Only problem with a real-life story is that it doesn't always include the work of God in a situation. Now, it's a real-life story can be something that happened in news, something that you heard about, something that you read. But a real-life story doesn't always include a testimony component where it emphasizes work of God. And that, of course, brings us to the third option, which is testimonies. Testimonies is great because it really illustrates that God is working all the time through ordinary people. It might be your testimony, it might be somebody else's testimony, but it's brilliant for illustration because the audience then realize, wow, God actually works through ordinary people. If God can work through that person, God can certainly work through me in terms of this. Or if God has helped that person in that regard, God can certainly help me in this regard as well. Another option that you might want to consider for introduction in terms of the illustration is visions or dreams. Visions and dreams are very helpful to relate the prophetic urgency of a matter and very, very good in terms of explaining your motive for the sermon itself. It really connects the audience with the supernatural. Now, again, it depends on the culture and the makeup of the audience itself. For some audience, they might not have a feel so much for the prophetic, so you might need to expand a slight bit on that and really just lead them into it. Some audiences will really receive that very easily. Just another thing that you need to bear in mind in terms of visions and dreams sometimes can be very open for interpretation, so it is important to add humility in terms of this and say, this is my interpretation of this. This is how I understand it. All right, and then lastly, what is great for option for illustration when you do introduction is to use quotes. A great quote allows you as a preacher to use the eloquence of another author or preacher to really emphasize and to illuminate a point. A great quote adds a lot of light, if I can put it that way, on the topic itself, and the eloquence of a quote and the truthfulness of a quote allows the audience to really connect with a topic and say, wow, this is a great view on this particular topic. I really want to hear more. Now, as a practical, what we want to do in the session itself is ask you to break into groups of two if you're doing this by distance learning. This is something that you can reflect on your own as well. But please do break up into groups of two. And what we want you to do here is to consider the passage of a prodigal son in Scripture, the story of a prodigal son. Read through it. And what we want you to do is to develop an introduction to this passage if this passage was central to your sermon. So imagine this is a sermon that you're going to develop around the prodigal son, but now you first want to do your introduction. Now, what we want you to do is quickly develop then this introduction and relate this introduction to one another and to hear, and to develop these introduction together in these groups of two. Now, this introduction should include a problem statement that the passage may address or allude to. Now, if it's looking at the prodigal son, what problem statements can you pick up here that this particular portion of Scripture addresses? Have a very clear definition of that problem statement. Then also, please put down definitions that should be clarified considering the proposed problem statement. You don't have to give actual definitions for now because you're just developing it in class time. But what definition should I look at? It doesn't necessarily have to be definitions that you pick up from Scripture itself, but you're talking about your problem statement and what definitions would be important to clarify here. And then thirdly, think of possible quotes or testimonies or stories that you might be aware of that connect with a problem statement. Once you've done that, you can relate it to one another or you can develop it together in your groups of two.